You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Mighty Father, by the power and grace of your Holy Spirit, we pray that we would see and hear, know and trust, love, worship, and glorify your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Common theme throughout all corners of pop music is that of unfulfilled longing and unsatisfied desire. The Rolling Stones sung famously, "I can't get no satisfaction." U2 lamented, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." Guns N' Roses and Mr. Brownstone, talking about the emptiness of decadence, said, "I used to do a little, but a little wasn't doing, so a little got more and more." And Biggie Smalls, in talking about the nature of acquiring massive wealth, said, "I don't know what they want from me. It's the more money I come across, the more problems I see." This notion of unsatisfied desire, isn't it what makes Romeo and Juliet, one of the greats of the Western canon, two lovers yearning for connection, that is, perpetually frustrated? The pebble in the shoe of human existence is unfulfilled longing, an unsatisfied desire. Our hearts have these desires, and we will pursue anything to find their fulfillment. The gospel reading of Luke 2 features two characters who have longed for years and years to see the Messiah of God. And this longing is fulfilled when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple. They do this to dedicate him as their firstborn to the Lord, and they also do this to restore Mary to temple worship after childbirth. Upon seeing the child, Simeon, who has been told by God that he will see the Messiah before he dies, he declares in verse 29, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." This is the equivalent of saying, "Now I can die. All of my wishes have been fulfilled." This is similar to a Red Sox fan after winning the title, the World Series title in 2004, after an 86-year title drought, or a Chicago Cubs fan in 2016 after a 107-year drought. And after these droughts, their fans finally saw a title, and they say, "Now I can die. I have seen my team win the World Series. Oh Lord, when will I see Wake Forest reach the Final Four?" Simeon's expression was one of complete contentment, one of perfect satisfaction of longings. This fulfillment of all longings in this story in Luke 2 finds its intersection in one place, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. In our day-to-day lives, the satisfaction of all our longings finds its fulfillment in the same place, Jesus himself. And so today, I want to look at three central longings of the human heart that find their fulfillment of Christ. First, longing for salvation. Second, a longing for intimacy. And third, a longing for grace. We will see that Jesus is the person who can satisfy the desires of our heart. So first, a longing for salvation. This passage in Luke 2 uses terminology that signals expectation in Simeon, Anna, and the people of Israel. Luke alludes to the consolation of Israel with Simeon and the redemption of Jerusalem with Anna. Both of these terms refer to the Jewish expectation of the coming of the Messiah. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, God makes a covenant with David that one of his descendants will rule upon his throne eternally. And as the concept of the Messiah continues to develop through the Old Testament prophets, a picture is painted of an anointed king who will come to deliver the world and God's people from all of the effects of the fall. At the time of Christ, a view had emerged that the Messiah would be the one to deliver the Jews from Roman rule. The Romans had ruled over Israel with an oppressive hand, and the people had started to expect that maybe this Messiah would be the one to bring geopolitical deliverance and make Israel great again. However, that is not the expectation of Simeon and Anna. The salvation that Simeon speaks of and the redemption that Anna prays for has to do with a deliverance from sin and death. This deliverance is revealed in the coming of Christ in Luke 2, it is both very inclusive and very exclusive. Simeon says that the salvation that will flow from Jesus the Messiah has been prepared in the sight of all nations, and it will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Jesus the Messiah is the seed that originates in Jewish blood that will flow from Israel out to all the nations to bring the grace of God. This salvation, this grace, would no longer be primarily localized within the people of Israel, but it would go out to every tongue and every tribe. And so in this way, it is very inclusive. However, we should not mistake this inclusivity for Christian universalism, the notion that Jesus came into the world and he died and he has risen, and that means that everyone is saved and there is no threat of eternal judgment. Verse 34, Simeon speaks exclusively. He says to Mary and Joseph, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." Simeon is saying that while this grace will be on offer to the people of all nations, there will be those who reject God's grace, and there will be those who accept it. There will be Judas, and there will be Peter. There will be the criminal on the cross who mocks Jesus, and there will be the criminal who says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, how does this relate to human longing? When you cut through the skin and look deep to the bottom of a person's heart, there is a primary fear that every person has, and that is, what is going to happen to me when I die? Will I be accepted or will I be rejected by God? There is no greater reassurance that a person needs than the certainty of eternal life in heaven. So much of the extreme business of modern society and the chronic hiding in social media and the blinders of ambition and the gallivanting from one pleasure and one vocation to the next is an attempt to suppress these hard questions about eternal life and eternal salvation. There's the old adage, there's no atheist in a foxhole. And the reason for that is, in a foxhole, everyone thinks that they are on the precipice of death. And all of the existential avoidance of the hard questions starts to fail. And this need for assurance begins to rise to the surface. What is going to happen to me when I die? Will I be judged or will I be accepted? And the only way to satisfy this longing is to repent and believe in Christ. The only way to satisfy this, to have this sense of assurance, is to, with your mouth, confess your sins to Christ and ask for his forgiveness and grace. Sometimes parents say, "Well, I've never told my kids I love them, but they know I love them through my actions." Well, the reality is, if a child has never heard it verbalized from a parent that the parent loves them, they do not have any sense of security in their parent's love for them. And the same is true with assurance of salvation. You may be religious, you may be a churchgoer, but to truly satisfy this longing for a sense of certainty in eternal life, with our mouth, we need to have a prayerful conversation with the Lord, where we ask Christ to forgive our sins and to bring us into a personal relationship with him. That gives us the satisfying certainty that we need in this longing. Second longing is a longing for intimacy. Notice the exuberance of both Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2. As Mary and Joseph enter into the temple with the baby Jesus. Verse 28, it says, "Simeon took him in his arms and praised God." Simeon is so overjoyed that he is picking up a stranger's baby and hoisting it up into the air. Simeon, do not do that in modern society. You will get arrested. Anna is joyous too. When she sees Jesus, she praises God, and she tells everyone who is waiting for the coming of the Messiah that he is here. And so this joy, what does this joy come from? Has the baby done something miraculous? Has some great fortune fallen upon them? No. The joy is found in a person. It's a person. Simeon and Anna have experienced the satisfaction in their deepest desires in seeing a person. Very often we reduce the gospel to a simple transaction. We have sinned. Jesus died for our sins. We ask him to forgive us. We don't go to hell. And all this is true and good, but it talks about the things that we avoid through the gospel. Whereas in reality, we gain something in the gospel. We gain Jesus himself. In this reductionistic transactional line of thinking about the gospel, we forget about our creation. We remember the fall. We remember our sin. We remember redemption, that Christ has died for our sins. We remember glorification, that God has made a home for us in heaven. But we forget that in our initial creation, the triune God, who is intrinsically relational, has made us for intimate relationship with God. That original state, oneness with God, is what drives our deep primordial longings. Listen to the joy of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The deep sense of joy that Paul experiences is found in knowing Jesus. It is found in intimate relationship with him. The prize and the treasure of the gospel is a person. It is a relationship with Christ. So knowing this person satisfies our longing for intimacy, but it also satisfies a third longing, which is a longing for grace. It was Johnny Lee who said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, musician, rock star, Kid Rock, described this empty pursuit of love in the world in his song, Only God Knows Why. Stay with me. This has a good ending. I've been sitting here trying to find myself. I get behind myself. I need to rewind myself. Looking for the payback. Listen for the playback. They say that every man bleeds just like me. I feel like I'm number one, and yet I'm last in line. I watch my youngest son. It helps to pass the time. I take too many pills to help to ease the pain. Made a couple dollar bills, but still I feel the same. Everybody knows my name. They say it way out loud. A lot of folks mess with me. It's hard to hang out in crowds. But I guess that's the price you pay to be some big shot like I am. Outstretched hands, one night stands, still I can't find love. One of my favorite movies to watch around Christmas time is The Family Stone. Sarah Jessica Parker plays the role of an uptight, snooty investment banking girlfriend of Everett Stone. Parker's character, Meredith, is clearly desperate to win the approval of Everett's family on a Christmas visit, but she just cannot win. The family teases her and criticizes her behind her back, and they scrutinize her every move. And at the end, Meredith gets humiliated as she anticipates that Everett is going to propose to her, but he lets her know in front of the whole family that he does not intend to move towards marriage. To cope with this sense of embarrassment, Meredith runs into the kitchen, and she ends up spilling two huge containers of strata on all over her clothes. And as she starts to sink to the ground with broken eggs and mushrooms all over her shirt, she says, "Isn't there anybody who loves me?" Perfect Meredith, with her designer luggage, her hair pulled tight, her big finance job in Manhattan, from high status Bedford, New York. At the end of the day, the longing driving all of this action and all of this effort is the desire to be loved unconditionally. Isn't there anybody who loves me? With all of her striving and accomplishments and perfection, she cannot find this perfect love that her heart desperately longs for, and ours does too. Well, when Anna refers to the redemption of Israel in verse 38, this concept does not allude to a political or structural restoration of the city. The redemption of Israel refers to the prophetic expectation that the covenant of grace will extend from Israel to all the nations. Early in the Bible, in God's forgiveness of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, and in the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12, 15, and 17, the Lord talks about a unique, particular love that comes only from him. It's a love that knows your dirty deeds, that knows your terrible habits, that knows your self-absorbed thoughts, that knows the awful things you do when nobody's watching, that knows that secret that you have never told anyone, It sees all of that, and it looks at you and says, you are mine. I love you. It sees the depth of your sin, and it embraces and accepts you without hesitation and without strings attached. In the gospel catechism that we do with our young people here at the church, the Q&A reads, what does gospel mean? Good news. What's the good news? Jesus died for my sins. Why did he die for your sins? So I can have a relationship with God. Who loves you the most? God. Who loves you the second most? Mommy and daddy. What can you do by God's power and grace? Hard things. No mother, no father, no husband, no wife, no best friend, no fiance, no flawed sinner can ever give you the love that will satisfy your heart. Only God can love you like that. Simeon saw the fulfillment of all of his longings in a person, and we can too. These longings find their satisfaction. These longings for salvation and for intimacy and for grace, they find their fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. And how can this be? Well, on their end as parents, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to obey God's law, to dedicate their firstborn to the Lord. And on Jesus' end, this act was part of fulfilling the law on our behalf. Jesus came into the world to live the perfect life we need to live, but that we cannot because we are sinners. And he died the death for our sins that we deserve on the cross. And he rises from the dead to verify and assure us that in fact, this message of God's grace, that it is absolutely true. It is reality. And through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, God opens the floodgates of his grace. He opens his heart that we might find the satisfaction of our deepest longings in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you would glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.